we carry a package, and not only the package with our luggage and our passport, but our experiences, or maybe some, if you may, traumas or difficult experiences from before. And many people think that by moving abroad, they are going to go away, or they started anew, you know, like they started a new life. So I'm going to erase the past.
Welcome to International Love Story, the podcast about long distance and multicultural relationships. My name is Christina, and today I'm going to talk to Gabriela. Gabriela is a licensed psychologist for expats, but she's also specialized on multicultural relationships. Right now, Gabriela is sitting in Spain.
In Valencia.
They have made it all the way to Spain. Thank you so much for your time, Gabriela. I'm very, very excited to talk to you today. I would say we just jump directly into it. What do you think?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Perfect. As mentioned, I mean, you are in a multicultural relationship yourself. Mm-hmm. So you can talk out of your own experience. And on top of all this, you are a licensed psychologist. Not only can you share information or your experience, you can also dive a little bit deeper into when it comes to dating multicultural. My first question to you is, because, I mean, obviously, Nasha and I, when we dated, and we still do have some struggles, to be honest, it's something that will always, like, follow us, that we will most probably never get rid of. So it's always very, very interesting. It's never boring. Mm-hmm. But if you talk out of your own experience, starting with that, what are the nuances, let's call it like this, you have noticed when you guys started dating, so you and the husband?
That was so long ago. The nuances, first the language, because I didn't speak German and at all, and he didn't want to speak English because he wanted to improve his Spanish.
as you say
in Germany, or in German, sorry, anstreber.
Yeah.
So how do you say that in English? Like a very ambitious man.
Yeah, a goal
oriented.
Yeah, something like this, I guess.
Goal focused, and so he didn't. It was we used English only in when it couldn't be fixed or arranged or communicated in Spanish, and I had to speak Spanish, as you probably experienced with Nacho. We speak very, very fast. So in order for him to understand me, I had to speak very slowly and very modulate very well all the words. So it was tiring for me as well. So that was a challenge, the language, and also the cultural things. Although our cultures are more similar than I thought in the beginning, there were a lot of, let's call it, prejudice or things that I assumed that he would do or not do because he was from Austria, from Central Europe. And I don't know, things like expressing his affection, or he being very direct on what he wanted and he didn't want. And I wasn't used to that, because we are used to color the information, you know, and not being very direct. And that was also interesting, challenging, and I had to keep remembering myself, this is the man I love, this is, he loves me, so please consider that before you jump into conclusions of why is he doing what he's doing or not doing. I don't know if that makes sense, but that was definitely challenging, the way he still expressed his love, and how did I express my love, and sometimes for him was overwhelming, or he didn't know how to process it, you know, like the affection, like the body affection, you know, touching or hugging and kissing and publicly doing it, because in Chile is perfectly fine, and we are very, very publicly affectionate. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't used to that as much. So that was also challenging.
But somehow over the time you met in the middle, or was it more like you just understood where the other person is coming from?
Both, mm-hmm. both. There were some concessions that had to be made, but also understanding exactly from where he was coming from and vice versa, and talking, speaking, verbalizing, saying what I need, what I want, and why am I doing what I'm doing, and he was doing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's not only assuming. That's the worst. That's the worst thing that you can do, always, but yeah. especially in a multicultural relationship, assuming what the other was saying or not saying or doing or not doing, asking. And that was a very hard training, but in the end, that saved several times our relationship. Mm-hmm. Actually, not assuming, mm-hmm. but asking. Mm-hmm. And saying, I need this, I want this, and not expecting the other to realize that is what I wanted to do or say, or, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this actually brings us directly to the topic of, like, when it comes to, because as I've mentioned, you're also offering online counseling. Actually, this is your profession. To also multicultural individuals. Yeah. You're not a relationship coach, mm-mm. but you do offer your services to individuals in multicultural relationships. As I said, this is also where you're coming from and part of your history as well. And I guess, like, one of those things you do cover in your sessions as well is, like, not coming to a conclusion automatically, but asking the right question. And I'm wondering, how do you do that? Is there a simple, like, is there a method, or do you just have to remind yourself constantly to not come to a conclusion? Maybe you can share some advice on that, because I find it very difficult, because I'm, like, a very empathic person. I'm also very emotional. And when something occurs, it's quite difficult for myself to, like, you know, breathe and to think first before talking. It's very important.
Yes.
I tend to talk first and then to think and be like, okay, maybe
what am I saying?
Yeah. And then also with the language, you know, so some things, mm-hmm. they just got lost in translation and everything. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering, is there, like, a special method or one key advice you could give when it comes to that?
This is a golden advice. Mm-hmm. It's really, really, it works. It worked for me, and it works for the clients that I had applied before in their relationships, their multicultural relationships. Safe word. Mm-hmm. What is a safe word? Not what you imagine it is. It's also, it can be used to stop an argument. Mm-hmm. Why? Exactly what you said before, because when we are getting emotional, and when emotions are taking over our brain and our capability of communicating, it can be very counterproductive. So arranging or agreeing in a safe word, in a word that you can use to stop the argument, to stop it. Like, okay, this is growing exponentially. We are probably, or I am at least, going to say things that I don't want to say, but I'm feeling very emotional. So I'm saying that word, and that means the discussion, the argument stops. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That means it stops in the moment. It doesn't mean that stops forever, mm-hmm. because if we are discussing it, it's probably because we need to fix something or we need to communicate mm-hmm. something. But in these circumstances, it's not productive. It can be counterproductive. It can backlash. So saying that word means stop all the discussion. One of the parties involved is removing themselves from that situation. Mm-hmm. And after, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, what you agreed upon before, you can resume the argument when you are calmed and you think through what you want to say and how you want to say it. So that's if you want something easy to remember and easy to apply is a safe word. Mm. Something that you agree, like it can be apple or orange or pencil or whatever, something easy. Mm-hmm. And then you stop the discussion and someone goes away. Mm. And then when you come back, you can resume the discussion. Mm.
So you cool down first a little bit, think about what just happened before things are just escalating in a way that you might just say something you actually don't mean exactly. Like this. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. And that it's important that you agree, both agree upon that, because usually what happens is one of the parties, one of the people in the relationship wants to stop the discussion and the other one wants to keep talking.
Yeah.
No, but I'm not finished. I want to say this. You know, we've all been there, you know.
Yeah.
But no, don't do that to me. I want to finish my sentence.
Yeah, I'm the one who's basically, when we have a discussion out of our experience, I got better in it, but I unfortunately just turn around and I leave the room. That's the worst thing you can do, just leaving the other one like completely confused and be like, okay, what's happening? What is she thinking? You know?
Exactly.
But I would just leave a conversation like this and leave Nacho alone with his thought. Like, and I feel bad about it every time I'm doing it.
And that's the difference, the big difference, because you were already agreed upon. Okay, both parties in the relationship have to be on board with this. Because when I say apple, it means I'm not just going, I'm saying apple. We agree upon that when I say, or when you say apple, the discussion now in this moment is paused. Mm-hmm. And I go away and then I come back and then we resume it. But I don't just leave.
Okay. Okay.
We agreed upon. It's not arbitrary.
Yeah.
You know, we agreed upon that is going to happen when I say apple, this and this and this. And also when you can also say apple and I have to shut up and bear with the situation until we can resume the discussion. That's the difference of just leaving and leaving the other hanging there with all the words and all the feelings. Yeah. You know?
That's a lot of work as well, though, I can imagine. So it takes a lot of time also to get there and just to be able to leave the discussion knowing that you will catch up. But in that moment, both parties will just shut up, leave the conversation, and then at some point when things cooled off, they will keep on having this discussion.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to agree upon that.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying, okay, I'm saying the word, but actually, we are doing this. Mm-hmm. We are both on board.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much for that. So what else is there when you think about the individuals and the past you shared advice with, you supported through a multicultural relationship? When it comes to special nuances in a multicultural relationship, so what topics do you usually talk about? Like, what do people or couples do struggle with in such a relationship?
First, I would say number one is language, language misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. I have a story that I usually share. You can, maybe it's you know it. If not, like people watching, if you know it, sorry. do you know the word pathetic?
Yeah.
In English, it's not the same as pathetic.
Yeah.
There are different things. Mm-hmm. And we were arguing very heavily and it was a heated discussion. Mm-hmm. And he said to me in Spanish, this is the same meaning as in English, pathetic, patética. Mm-hmm. And he said, you are pathetic to me. Mm-hmm. And of course, if someone you love says something like that, that's very hurting. And I left the room without a safe word. Mm-hmm. And I just started like, why are you saying that to me? And he was speechless. He didn't understand my reaction. Because for him, and after, okay, so that was it. And he went to pick a dictionary and he showed me the meaning of the word pathetisch in German. Mm-hmm. meaning what he meant was that I was being overdramatic, that I was being somehow theatrical. Mm-hmm. And that was the use of the word was that was his intention. It was nice also, but it wasn't that damaging or that insulting, if you may, as what I thought he was saying. Is because the same word, he used it, like translated literally from German to Spanish, and not taking into account that the meaning is completely different. Mm. So that's an example for me. And after that, we talked and we laughed, actually, because he came with the dictionary and said, "Please, please, that's what I was saying, not the other thing that you thought," because he didn't understand my reaction as well. Mm-hmm. So if he didn't grab the dictionary, mm-hmm. it could be even worse, like the outcome of the discussion, mm-hmm. the argument, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So that happens a lot. And not now, because we are together for 12 years now, but in the beginning happened a lot. And with my clients, that happens a lot as well. Like, he didn't mean that, or did he mean what he said, or vice versa? I didn't mean it that way, but he understood it that way, or whatever. So what to do about that? But I said at the beginning, not assuming. If something that your partner says to you, you feel insulted, like something heavy or it hurts your feelings, first ask, did you mean that? Did you mean what when you said that? Did you mean this? What I understood is what you said. And I would say 60 till 70% of the times it's not, but it's lost in translation. You know, because although you are communicating in a common language, it's usually English, but neither of them is native in English, or you are using one of the languages. So one person has more, if you may, power in the communication than the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I understand.
So it's damn important that you ask that, did I understand what you said? Is that what you said? Or can you explain yourself better, please? Because I didn't understand. And what I understood was really hurtful. Mm. So please explain yourself.
Also something you have to learn. So out of our experience, it's nothing that comes overnight, obviously. It's a lot of work. And yeah,
But not assuming, sorry that I interrupted you, worries. Christina, but not assuming, you don't have to learn that. And not assuming means, okay, this is the person that I love, and he or she loves me back. Mm. So I don't assume that this person that loves me will insult me or will hurt my feelings. Mm. You know, so it's training, and it's difficult, and you have to over and over again. But remind yourself, not assuming is not easy, it's not difficult. Mm. You know, mm. It's okay, this is the person loves me. So I'm not just going to assume that he or she wants to hurt me, you know?
Yeah, obviously. But also then afterwards, finding the right words to make sure that you're on the same page again. I do think of, for us, that was difficult in the beginning, mm-hmm. The first few months. After a while, obviously, it's just now, it's part of our communication. As we found a middle ground in our communication, mm. even though we do communicate in English, so not just speaking Spanish, I do speak German. Our language we communicate in is English in that case. Hopefully Spanish soon, but we see how this is going on my end. Yeah, it will take some time. But I do think that in general, like when speaking a language that's not your native one, mm-hmm. it makes the conversation very interesting in so many ways. And you do learn a lot about your partner as well as about yourself. So, and another thing, but this is like off topic a little bit, this is actually something I covered a few days ago on Instagram, is that I do feel when speaking English, at least in my experience, I feel like another mm-hmm. person. So I feel like mm-hmm. I'm putting like I'm not the same Christina as I am when speaking German. So that you do have to take this into account as well, at least in our relationship. I don't know if this applies to everyone, but I do know some people who actually confirmed that this is true. So mm-hmm. it comes with many challenges. It's beautiful. It's exciting. It's an adventure. So this is also why I'm very, very happy that we're going to have this conversation today. So for everyone who basically needs some advice or maybe, yeah, not push into the right direction, but the confirmation that what you're going through is actually quite normal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't met a couple, including my couple, my relationship, that hasn't had those challenges. Mm-hmm. No, that's completely normal. Yeah. Mm,
definitely. Mm-hmm. I can only agree yeah. with that. So is there anything else that we had? The safe word you would like to give as an advice, like, and then also making sure you do understand each other in a language that's not your native one by not coming to a conclusion. And if there's a third advice you would like to share with us today, what else is it when you think of your sessions?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to add or to make, underline the don't assuming, mm-hmm. like always think the best. Mm-hmm. Of your partner at the beginning, then you can maybe realize something else. But at the beginning of the discussion, mm-hmm. this person loves me. Mm-hmm. So probably most likely he or she doesn't want to hurt me. You know, like you said, not jumping into conclusions, but actually thinking this is not my enemy. This is my partner. So he doesn't want or she doesn't want to attack me. They want to have a conversation. Maybe not the most skillful way or the most assertive way, but they are trying. So that's also that is important to have in the back of our minds. And the third advice, it is also, yeah, it requires practice as well, but it tackles this what you mentioned, this when we are communicating in a language that is not ours, and there is no other way, because if I don't speak Spanish and his native language is Spanish, mm. when we are speaking in my language that's German and he doesn't speak German, or vice versa, blah, blah, blah. Keep in mind that if you want to say something and you can't because you don't have the vocabulary, then try to communicate it in another way. Mm-hmm. I know it's difficult, but it's also very effective. Metaphors. I know, but it helps. It helps drawing, like, or looking for a dictionary, or making it the less difficult for you to express it. Because what do we do usually? We are very intelligent and we want to communicate at the level of our native language. So when we are trying to speak in our language that is not ours, even if we are very skillful and very, very fluent in it, sometimes we reach a limit. And we know that we can be so much more eloquent in our native language. So that creates a frustration per se, you know? Mm-hmm. So drawing, it sounds like, okay, but I'm not a child. How am I going to draw? Yes, I understand that reaction of, hey, but that's a mean to an end, you know? Mm-hmm. The end is that the other person knows exactly or most near to exact what I want to say. Mm. If that means that I have to draw or I have to mimic or I have to look for metaphors, this is the mean to an end. Mm. And it doesn't mean that you are less intelligent or less skillful. It means that you are speaking in a language that is not yours. Mm. So it's important to have that in mind as well. Communication is 100% the key. And if it's not as good as you want, try to pivot in different ways so that the other person understands what you want to say.
When we come to the example of drawing, like, what do you mean mm-hmm. exactly with that? Like drawing your emotion, for example, or how could that look
no,
like?
No, 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 no emotion. No, no, no. What do you want to say? What mm-hmm. is the point of this? What do you want him or her to understand? Mm-hmm. If you want to say, I am, angry, then yeah, if you can draw the emotion like a person, like, I don't know how you draw anger, but drawing in like, it's not, it doesn't have to be a perfect draw, but it can be like, how do you say that? Scheme mm-hmm. or like, you know, like a map mind or something illustrating mm-hmm. what you're feeling or what you want to say. I want you to be clear that I'm mad or whatever feeling, but also I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that I don't want to go to your mother's next week. Mm-hmm. And if I have to draw it so that you can understand, mm-hmm. then I will do it, mm-hmm. you know? What is not about communicating my feelings. That's also important. But what is the outcome of this communication? Mm. What do I need my partner to understand from what I'm saying? Mm. What is the message? You know?
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It's just something I've never thought about, to be honest, even though I'm talking for Natasha as well, if we got to the point quite often as well, where we just, sometimes you don't have words anymore and metaphors, they might just take too long or you have to think about something and then just going ahead and drawing it. If it's like, as I understood, a mind map or anything that the person understands what you actually mean by it. And I feel like everything, what I do think about in general about languages is very interesting. And it mm-hmm. can be very, very, very helpful. At least it helped us a couple of times. Is that even though, as mentioned, out of my perspective, I'm a very emotional person. So I'm the one who tend to leave the room when a conversation heats up too much. But I think I would leave this room earlier when speaking German, because in English I do have to think, so I have to translate in my head. I have some time to think about what I'm actually going to say, and then the outcome is not as hurtful as it would be maybe in German. And also I feel like because of the language, because English is not as strong or not coming out as strong as German, mm-hmm. oftentimes for Nacho it's easier for him to understand, even though it's not our native language, because mm-hmm. I'm not coming out so strong as I would come out when speaking German. Mm-hmm. And I do think like this is also something we could most probably talk about for the next 1.5 hours or 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Communication in a native language is very interesting in general. But what I would also like to cover is the fact of like diversity in a multicultural relationship. So, for example, Nacho's from Argentina, I'm from Germany. I feel like the difference is not that big, but then there's so many times I'm like, oh my God, wow, how are we going to deal with that in the future? It got better as we are finding the middle ground. But I do believe that there are a lot of individuals, a lot of couples out there listening to the podcast right now, seeing mm-hmm. the YouTube video and be like, hey, mm-hmm. is there any way to like, or actually, how do we meet in the middle when it comes to cultural differences?
Well, that's also very, the summary of this episode is, it depends. It's very individual. But it's a middle ground is always difficult mm-hmm. because to actually have the feeling I'm not losing more than the other mm-hmm. or I'm not winning more than the other is very subjective. And it depends. But outcome, what is the outcome of this middle ground? What are we chasing? Why are we looking for a middle ground? You know, mm-hmm. what is the goal of integrating your culture, my culture, our culture together, or subculture in the relationship? You know, mm-hmm. why do I need to cook every Tuesday my favorite meal? And why do I need you to experience that with me? Mm-hmm. you know? Is it the same if I experience, is it better if I experience it alone and I enjoy it? Or is it better that I experience it with you and you pretend that you're enjoying it, but you are not? You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, yes.
Am I forcing you to be someone that you are not? Mm-hmm. Because it is important for me for you to appreciate my culture? Or is it better that you give me my space to appreciate my culture, but you are not necessarily have to be involved? You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, yes.
And that's what I mean with outcome. Mm-hmm. Middle ground sounds very nice, but it's not always a good choice. Mm-hmm. Because it means, you know, if your partner, and that goes to normal monolingual couples, let's say, if your partner doesn't enjoy something and you want your partner to enjoy it, is that what you want? Or you prefer to enjoy it by yourself, but really enjoy it and not forcing the other to enjoy it? And because the other has to be or act or do as they are enjoying it, even if they are not enjoying it. Does that make sense?
That goes into the direction that the one or the other is bending or pretending to be a person they're actually not, which is very toxic. I'm talking out of experience as well.
Yeah.
So it might work for a while, but then at some point, the one or the other might just think like, hey, what am I actually doing here and why am I doing this? And obviously in such a relationship or any relationship, you want to be happy, you want your partner to be happy. And if this means that your partner has to bend for you, that's not the way to go for. But what I mean, like, it's more like understanding, like in middle ground in a way, like, where are you coming from? What's your cultural difference? And what helped us a lot is, I mean, now that we're living here in Germany, or we're living here since 3 years already, I'm not sure understands the German culture and why being in Argentina, I do understand the Argentinian culture and I understand where he's coming from. And this is what helped us a lot to feel closer to each other than we were before, by appreciating each other's culture and also understanding that, for example, when it comes to, like, you know, we Germans and also actually Austrians, they are almost always on point. And it's a cliche, but it's a cliche that's actually playing, again, just out of my own experience, that's applying on myself. Nacho is almost never on point, you know, and it's either I can be upset about it and I can be bothered about it and be like, why again? And mi amor, vámonos, we have to go. And why are you like this? Or I can understand that this is like, hey, if you meet friends in Argentina and you say, let's hang up or hang out at 8 p.m. The first people, they arrive at 9 p.m. This is part of their culture as well. And I do have to understand that there are things, okay, I wish I could change them, but I can't, because why would I? Why would I change his way of behaving, and a part that's also his culture? So again, out of my experience, that helped me a lot to ask, why is it like this?
Yes, I agree with you. There are things that we need to understand and understand where the other is coming from. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean necessarily that we have to accept it in our relationship, because it's that in particular, that example, there are mm-hmm. other things, of course, but that mm-hmm. example of being late, or in Argentina is used to be like this, and in Germany we are very punctual. But what is important for me? It is important that you are. Is it really important for me that you are on time?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the culture. Mm-hmm. If it is important for me, please try to do it, because it is important to me. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's a valid point. I agree with you.
I understand that in Argentina it's different, or wherever we are, for me it's important that you are punctual or not, or for me it's more important other things. But that's a very couple relationship thing. It's not only cultural. You can understand, but please make the effort because it is important to me or not that important. You know, but that's a relationship thing more than a cultural thing. Mm. You can understand where they're coming from, but it doesn't mean that it can be changed or adapt to the relationship.
That's actually a good point. This is why I said, like, out of my experience or our experience, because I'm okay with it after a while and I understand it. Like, and for me, it's like, okay, it's not bothering me too much, but I understand, like, in another relationship, if there's one party that's actually very bothered by it and wishes it for, like, because it's also appreciate, like, has to do with appreciating your time as well and your effort and all, like, it goes a little bit deeper than just being on point, you know. But this is why it was important for me to give this example out of our experience. But yeah, I totally understand, and I totally understand that this is not applying to everyone, and that it's important to set boundaries, as in any other relationship.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And your example is super important, exactly for that, because for you, it's okay, it bothers me a little bit, but it's not that important. Mm-hmm. So you came to terms to it, and it's fine. That can also happen. Yeah. It's not my or your like examples, but it is important to have in mind that it's very different, and it comes in the end, it's about boundaries and about what you value in a relationship.
Yeah. Thank you so much for pointing this out again. And again, for everyone who's listening or who's watching, like, I'm not the best example. As I said, I can only talk out of my experience. This is why it's so important to me as well to have you, Gabriela, in this podcast, because you can share, like, firsthand, not only your experience, but also, like, a professional insight. And let's talk a little bit about your job, if it's okay for you.
Yeah.
Because... again, out of our experience, very important. You know, there were so many times because, and especially in the beginning, Nacho and I, we thought that we are unicorns, that there are not so many crazy people out there who are dating on distance and who are dating intercultural, you know, and we struggled with a lot of, like, little things, if it's communication in English, or communication in general, and all those things, and we try to figure it out. And I wish at some point to have an expert by my side who's actually also telling me, hey, what you're going through, this is quite normal, but sharing their advice with me and basically taking my hand at some point and making sure that we will grow out of it stronger, you know, and that we will be able to find, for example, way of communicating. And this is where you are coming into place, because you do exactly offer those type of counseling. So I would like to know, what exactly is it you're doing, and where do everyone who's, like, listening right now, who's watching right now, where can they find you to connect with you?
Okay. So yeah, I offer counseling, and this kind of counseling is very practical, very solution oriented. And as our conversation, like, giving not advice, but this, I would say, I will frame it like a skills training. Like, the first thing that we do when you become my client is we identify the problematic or the problematics. Many, many people come to me with one problem or with one challenge or various challenges, and actually by talking about it and organizing their thoughts and what is important to them, they realize that is not the issue but something else, you know. So it's identifying what is really the challenge behind what you think is the challenge is the first step, you know. And after that, connect with emotions, because emotions are pivotal, especially negative, quote unquote, for the ones who are listening, quote unquote, negative emotions. You know, the negative emotions are carriers of information. And we feel the way we feel for a reason. Many, many people, especially regarding social media, try to hide their negative emotions, negative, quote unquote, their unpleasant emotions, or replace them with positive thoughts and positive affirmations. But actually listening to them and, okay, what is this anger telling me? What is this jealousy telling me? Why am I feeling frustrating regarding my partner or the relationship? Why is this, what need is not being covered, you know? Mm-hmm. So actually listening to and connecting with the emotions, giving room to the emotions so that we can actually see what is the main problems in the relationship or with yourself or within a multicultural relationship. And after we have giving room to those emotions and the information, we start to tackle those problems with skills training, like, I don't know, assertiveness or boundaries or communication, identifying the outcome. What do I want with this? What is my goal by saying that to my partner? What am I gaining? Or how is the relationship growing for me telling him or telling her that, you know? Mm. And that requires persistence and work, mm-hmm. and being confronted to things that sometimes we don't want to see about ourselves or about the relationship, things that we take for granted or things that we are ignoring of our cultural background that are being, that are being ignored in the relationship because we don't want the other person to feel blank, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that we do a lot. Stop doing things or not saying things because we are afraid that the other person will feel blank, you know, like sad or hurt or, you know, and that can accumulate, can lead to more frustration or more resentment even. You know, if we don't say things because we are afraid that the other will react or will feel in a way that we don't want them to feel, you know? Yeah. So all of that is what I do, regarding especially to relationships, mm-hmm. communicating effectively, identifying what is really bothering me in this situation, you know? That's also very important. What is really going on with me? Why is this situation bothering me? Is because what I believe it is bothering me, or there is something else behind it? You know, that's what I do. And I am very good at spotting, my clients always laugh because I always stop them when they are, I don't want to say that word, but they are telling themselves stories. You know,
yeah, uh-huh. kind of lying to themselves, exactly. because they want to make themselves believe that this is actually true, but they kind of know it's not. Okay,
exactly. I'm very, very good on doing that. Like, uh-huh. okay,
I better be careful what I'm saying now.
No, yeah, don't worry. You're not my client. This is not a session setting. Don't worry. You're fine. But actually, that's my work, to spot those self-narrative things. Mm-hmm. That we say to ourselves to protect ourselves or that we believe that is protecting ourselves or protecting the relationship.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Yeah.
You know? So that's, and also it is the cultural part and the diversity and the language differences are very, very important. But the most important thing in a multicultural relationship is to be sure what I want to communicate, what I want to say, and what the other person understands from what I'm saying. Mm. And this is a very big red flag. We can't influence how the other person feels.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's so, so important because I don't want to hurt him it's so nuanced. What does that mean? And does that mean that I'm going to shut up and not paying attention to my needs because I don't want to, quote unquote, hurt my partner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what does that mean, hurting? Saying the truth, stating what I need, what I expect from the relationship, you know? But that's maybe another topic for another another podcast. But that's a very common mistake.
Yeah. This is also like, I think we could keep on talking for the next few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we still don't cover all those different nuances. And then there are also things, obviously, like in any other relationship as well, that you have to deal with, you know, so... deal with, not in a negative sense. I hope you know what I mean, but
absolutely.
Because mm-hmm. you are in a relationship and you do have to have, or you do create.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that the word? Special skills over the time.
Develop special develop. Skills.
Thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. Develop special skills. Mm-hmm. Skills. Mm-hmm. Skills. Sorry, over the time. So, but what I understand from what you were just saying is also that you do offer long-term counseling.
Oh, absolutely.
So, because it's mm-hmm. nothing that you can solve in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
No.
You're going to do it on the long run as well.
No.
Okay.
That also variates.
Uh-huh.
But that's what I used to offer packages, but I stopped really fast
mm-hmm.
because it is so individual. And people coming with the expectation of fixing things in a short amount of sessions for some problematics or for some specific things, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that I tackle with my counseling are more like middle term, long term.
Yeah.
That can mean 8 sessions, but it could also mean 12, 14, 20. You know, it really depends. And usually, when we move, we carry a package, and not only the package with our luggage and our passport, but our experiences, or maybe some, if you may, traumas or difficult experiences from before. And many people think that by moving abroad, they are going to go away, or they're starting anew, you know, like they're starting a new life. So I'm going to erase the past.
Mm.
That doesn't happen.
I get goosebumps. No, it doesn't happen.
No.
No, it doesn't. It's
so
not like...
four sessions are usually not enough. But it's, again, very individual. But I don't want to limit my work or what I offer to a certain amount of sessions, because if it's not, quote unquote, solved, then it's frustrating, especially for the client.
Yeah.
You know? So that's not the point at all.
So if we want to learn more about your work, if we want to learn more about you, where can we connect with you?
Mm-hmm. So you can find me on Instagram. It's gabriela.encina.psychologist. It's a little bit long, I know. But if you want information, you can go to my website. It's gabriela-encina.com. Mm-hmm. And you can actually book a 30-minute free consultation. You have to apply for it, because I ask some questions to find out if we are the right fit to have this call. And then after that, you can ask me whatever you want about my method or share your problematic. And we can decide together if I'm the one who's the right person to help you. But all my online counseling details and all the details about me and how I work are in my website.
Okay. Obviously, I'm going to link it in the side notes mm-hmm. as well as in the YouTube description. Is there anything else you would like to share? Because I feel like we covered pretty much a lot. Obviously, we covered just the surface. As we are running low on time, and as mentioned, it's something we could talk about for the next few hours.
Yes.
But anything else we forgot, anything else you would like to add what we've just talked about?
Yeah, I would, especially regarding social media and what did you said before about being unicorns, about the feeling of being unicorns. And I understand that, because many people feel exactly that. find community. For example, what you offer, possibility, the chance to see first that you're not alone.
Yeah.
And second, that there are ways to tackle the problems or the challenges that you may be experiencing.
Yeah.
So find a community of people, not necessarily like-minded, but like experiences. How do you say that? Similar experience, mm-hmm. not like-minded, but like experienced. Because not feeling alone is one of the first steps to feel better.
Yeah. That helps
tremendously.
Thank you so much. This is actually very interesting that you've mentioning this, because I feel like in almost every conversation, like every time I end a conversation, we end it like this. 85% of my guests, they're actually sharing this exact same advice of connecting with others and realizing, hey, you are not alone.
Yeah.
And I do think, like everyone who's listening, who's watching, as always, if you do need support or if there's anything you feel trapped, or like there is actually very, very big community out there. You can always text me, for example. I'm also behind the account, as most of you know, of International Love Story. And mm-hmm. I'm more than happy to share your story or your question anonymously in the stories, for example. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to connect you with others where I know, like, hey, they might have gone through something similar, mm-hmm. or I'll be able to connect you with special people like Gabriela, you know, and you are basically like, you are not alone, and you don't have to, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, you don't have to suffer. So there's no need to suffer.
Definitely.
Not at all.
And linking that to you're not alone, mm-hmm. the second branch of it, ask. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because this sense of, okay, I can't do it alone, or, mm-hmm. or it's not that difficult, or how should I, or why should I ask someone else? This is my relationship. How do they know? I'm talking about mental health professionals, but also people that experienced that already.
Yeah.
Tell me, what did you do? How did you do it? Not to compare yourself, please. That's a big red flag. But actually ask for advice, or share it, that they share their experience. That's what I mean with asking for help.
Yeah.
Like, I'm experiencing this and this and that. Do you know this? Have you ever gone through this? Or what can I do? Or what resources can I read or hear or so listen?
Mm-hmm.
But ask, don't stay with that. Alone, because it's difficult enough. A relationship per se,
yeah.
The layer of multicultural, the layer of multilingual, the layer of maybe living abroad.
Yeah,
come on. I mean,
or distance. That's enough. It's enough already. That's true, and it doesn't have to do anything with like, hey, I'm failing if I have to ask for help. Also, out of my own experience, so I just want to state this out again, because I belong to those type of people who do, like, it's very difficult for me to ask for help,
mm-hmm.
because for me it's like, it feels like failing, but actually it's not, and there are many times I'm like, okay, I wish I would have asked before already, like, why do I did this, or why do mm-hmm. I do this to myself,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, actually, there's a community. There are people that are more than happy to share their experience, to help you, to support you. There are specialists out there for anything you need. So mm-hmm. just don't hesitate and ask
mm-hmm.
For help, for support, for advice. Maybe long-term counseling, as Gabriela is offering it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for this conversation.
I really appreciate you, Gabriela. I'm so happy that we've connected.
Yeah, likewise.
And yeah, it was a very, very great conversation. We covered actually a few topics.
Mm-hmm.
And as mentioned, I'm going to link everything in the side notes as well as in the YouTube description.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just connect with Gabriela. If you feel like she could be a perfect, or you guys could be a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hope you're going to have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you guys are doing fine and you're having a wonderful morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you listened to this episode. Also, as mentioned, if you do have any questions, if you feel trapped, or if there's anything else we can do for you, feel free to contact us on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. It's International Love Story. And I am currently searching for more love stories. If you'd like to share your story, I'm going to link a link in the side notes as well as in the YouTube description. So feel free to fill out a form and I would love to meet you and to talk to you. Until then, please take care and bye!